I feel like I could rule the world. I know I could be what I want to. I put my all in it like no days off. On the road, let's travel, never looking back.
Hey, what's up, folks? Intern producer Barshop here again with another episode from the archive. This one is a quick hit, probably from about 2 years ago. Sean dives into his networking process, which felt like a good fit based on our episode from Wednesday. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen immediately. Sean talks about his trip to LA, and within that episode, he tells a story about his business partner, Ben, who, in his words, is the best networker he's ever met. So this episode I'm about to play felt like a really nice pairing to that episode, but I will stop talking and let Sean take it from here. Enjoy.
All right, let's talk about networking. That is one of the most annoying buzzwords in the business world. Nobody wants to be a networker, or nobody I know at least, nobody I like wants to be a networker, right? When we think of networker, I see schmoozing, suit wearing, kind of like fake complimenting, business card handing out, or loves to be at a conference and just, you know, believes that the only way to send an email is to shoot it your way, right? So nobody wants to be a networker, but everybody wants a badass network. And you've probably heard the phrase, your network is your net worth. And it's not true, but there's some truth in it, like all cliches. And so, I wanted to tell you about kind of the way I think about this stuff. And I used to have this thing. I half wrote a book like 10 years ago of all the things I had learned my first year doing a startup. And I never published it. Maybe I should someday. It's turning now into, I guess, podcasts like this or my newsletter. Go to seanpuri.com. You should be subscribing. That's where I put out stories like this. But anyhow, the phrase I used was, I said, networking is like Noah's Ark, right? You know, the old fabled story of Noah's Ark. So here's kind of how it's like Noah's Ark. You have the flood, and I would say for most startup businesses, just assume the flood is coming, right? For a startup, by default, you're going to fail. You have to like do something to get out of failure into success. And so the flood is coming, and your network is your best chance of surviving, because within your network, you're going to find knowledge, expertise, capital, strategy, different things that you're going to need in order to survive. Okay, number two, build it before you need it. So you don't want to try to build your network when you need a network, right? If you want to fundraise, that's not the time to build your connections with investors. It's too late at that point. And it's very transparent. Exactly what you're doing is very transactional. So you don't build a real network. You don't build real relationships. And so you want to be placing deposits into those bank accounts for months or years before you ever are trying to make a withdrawal. And so that's why build it before you need it. And you want to build it with the intention of it being mutually beneficial, right? You want to be depositing so that they have something in their account from you. You're giving before you're going to end up asking for something. Number three, keep it kosher. So, in the story of Noah's Ark, God, granted Noah and his followers the right to kill some of the animals and eat their meat, but, it had to be done in a certain way. And it's the same principle with your network. You want to use, but don't abuse your network. Everybody hates that guy who's just constantly asking and constantly using the network, rather than it being a true, friendship or sort of allyship where we'll help each other out. And we'll know where the line is where you're asking for too much. Okay, number four, you want two of everything. So what I do when I build a network, and this is, I've never heard anyone else talk about this, but it's made common sense to me, and I think you should do it too, is you want to pair up every member in your network with another. So often when you're networking, you're going to people that are, let's say, more successful, more knowledgeable, more connected than you. That's very frequently the case. And so that creates the potential for kind of a one-way dynamic, right? And you got to think, why would this person on the other side, if I know why I would want to be connected with them, because they're smart and they're experienced and they have capital and they have connections, why do they want to connect with me? Well, first, have some confidence. They want to connect with you because you're an interesting person doing interesting things, that you're fun to be around, that you're kind and you will help them, without them even needing to ask. But the second thing is, when you're building a network, you don't want them all just to be connected to you. You want them to be connected to each other, right? So when I meet somebody And I have two people in my network. I raced, introduced those two dots to each other, right? I want them to connect with each other. And now I've added value to both of them just by connecting them with each other. So that's how you want two of everything, just like Noah had two of every animal on the ark. And by the way, I used to feel this weird sense of, like, I don't know, jealousy, because I would introduce two people that were in my network and all of a sudden they would become best friends and they would do business together. And often they wouldn't even be including me in that stuff. And I used to think, oh man, maybe I should be trying to keep everybody to myself. But obviously that's a naive, short-sighted way of thinking about it. It's a natural human reaction, but it's not the right response. The right response is to say, hell yeah, I want all the people around me to be winning. And I have so much abundance in my life of success, of connections, of all this stuff. I couldn't even use anymore. My cup is overflowing. And so if they're having a great time together, they're doing business together, fantastic. That's a win for me. Those are two people in my network who are winning because I was able to connect those dots. And the last piece, number five, do the work. Building the ark was a lot of work, and you got to do the work yourself. You got to Google stalk everybody. You got to find common ground. You got to make time. If they like hiking, then you better lace them up and you better meet them on the trail at 6 a.m., right? Don't be lazy and don't suggest generic coffee meetings and that stuff. This is more like dating. It's courtship, right? You got to figure out what the other person's into. You got to speak their language and you got to help them out. And you're not doing it just to schmooze with them, right? You're doing it because that's just the decent, friendly thing to do, is to think about what the other person's interested in and try to meet them where they are. So if you want to build a great network, you got to do those five things. Let's recap them. Prepare for the flood. Number two, build it before you need it. Number three, keep it kosher. Don't use, but don't abuse your network. Number four, get two of everything. Pair your people in your network to each other. Everyone who you meet, you should introduce to another person in your network. And number five, do the work. Don't be lazy. And so, yeah, networking, it could be schmoozing if you're sort of talentless or callous about the way you go about it. But I think it's different. It's maximizing one of the most valuable resources around you, the people that are in your orbit. And it's a renewable resource. It's in your control. You're able to build it, and it's sort of the gift that keeps on giving once you build it. So that's it. Noah's Ark for networking. If you like this little story, you should sign up for my newsletter. I put out stories like this once or twice a week, and I do a lot more of these written than I do in audio. So if you like this stuff, you should join. It's just my name, seanpuri.com, and go sign up. I think there's like 30,000 people on there now. We want to get that to 100 by the end of the year. All right, enjoy. All right, this episode is brought to you by Mercury. They are the finance platform of choice for over 200,000 companies. Shouldn't be surprised, because I use it myself for not one, not two, but I have eight different Mercury accounts. I have seven for different companies that I'm a part of, and then I have my own personal account, because now they have personal banking, which is a really cool feature. I highly, highly recommend it. Like I said, I use it myself. And the reason why is because the way that Mercury works is beautiful. It's very intuitive. And you could tell that it's actually made by a startup founder. It's an entrepreneur. You could tell it's made by somebody who used other banking products in the past and didn't like all the different rough edges and annoyances and decided to, you know, actually fix it himself. And really, any type of entrepreneur you are, let's say you're an agency, well, one of the things every agency has to do is be able to send invoices, easily create them, send them to customers, and stay current on your balances with all your customers. Well, you can do that inside Mercury. And so I think that Mercury is great. Highly recommend you check it out. And thank you for sponsoring the show. For more information, check out mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Check show notes for details.